This is Susanna McMonagle, and you're listening to Season 3 of the 5 to 8 Shift podcast for parents. The 5 to 8 Shift podcast and community exists to educate, inspire, and encourage parents throughout their parenthood adventure. Here, we talk about all the things impacting parents today, everything from mental health to technology to faith, teenagers, toddlers, self-care routines, and so much more. We know parenting is tough work, but family life is worth every ounce of effort. We hope you listen in, share with your favorites, and are reminded that you're not alone. We look forward to cheering you on in your own 5 to 8 shift. It's the most important shift of the day. Hey everyone, it's your host Susanna. Welcome to another episode of the 5 to 8 Shift. If you're a regular listener, you may have noticed that we took a couple weeks break, enjoyed the holidays. I'm a professor, so my spring semester started, and so there's just a lot of moving parts in those 5 weeks of break that we get there. All the kids got sick, just like everybody else's kids, and so it's February, if you're listening to this along the release date, and we're in a good little routine, and so I have several interviews lined up for you guys, lots on tap, and I'm excited to release some new guests. Actually, today's guest was on the very first season of the 5 to 8 Shift, and she is back. New York Times bestseller Crystal Payne. She wrote a great book a couple years back on love-centered parenting, and so she wrote a book that is brand new. It's called Time Saving Mom, that I'm really excited about, and so I have three small kids, and this season I am always looking for tricks and hacks and systems and routines. We literally just started a morning routine with my oldest, who's 7, to make our mornings go a little bit smoother. And you know what? It's actually kind of working. And so she gets that little check mark and she is very satisfied with herself. And I have been thinking, wow, why didn't I do this earlier? And so that's been off to a great start. And so Crystal has a lot of things that she can speak into about how you prioritize what matters to you. Literally, we talk about the macro, we talk about prioritization, we talk about prayer, we talk about her four-step system, but then we boil it down to like, okay, Crystal's like, I do a Google Calendar task, and then I wake up and I look at my task, and that's how I start my day. And so this is really a great interview because we talk about the kind of context of running a household, but also she gets into like, some of the details. I'm like, okay, Crystal, I got it. But like, tell me how, like, tell me when you wake up, what do you do? And she obliges. She has some great answers. She has some great insight. Her new book is called Time Saving Mom. And it is bound to be, you know, I got a PDF copy of it. It's fantastic. If you are like, ooh, that sounds a little type A for me, I guarantee there is something in here that you can take away for your family. So it might not all work for you. You might not want to be as rigid, but I guarantee that there's a couple things that Crystal shares today that you are going to love. So if you want to learn more about this, Crystal hangs out a lot on Instagram, Money Saving Mom. That's kind of how she got her start. She's got 6 kids. She's wonderful, fantastic, gracious. And I just really love this conversation. So this episode is kind of kicking off our spring season here. All the episodes are going to come out on the 7s. And so I have a bunch lined up. Thanks for being here. Thanks for sharing with your friends online and in real life. And so I hope you are looking forward to some great content. Y'all enjoy your afternoon, your morning, or your evening, wherever this finds you. Thanks for being here. All right, Crystal Payne, welcome back to the podcast. I am thrilled to have you. You have some wisdom to share with us today. So for this season of the podcast, I'm doing introductions with 5 rapid fire questions for you to just quickly introduce yourself before we get into the topic today. Does that sound all right?
I hope I don't let you down.
You won't. They're easy, I think. The first one is, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Wichita, Kansas.
Okay, Kansas. All right. And where do you live now?
The Nashville, Tennessee area.
Okay. All right. Awesome. Love Tennessee. Love Nashville. The third one is, what is one of your favorite foods or restaurants?
So I love anything that's chocolate and peanut butter. So I was trying to think, is there a restaurant that has, well, the Cheesecake Factory has some really good cheesecakes. So yes. And I also, like one of my guilty obsessions is Cracker Barrel pancakes. I don't know why, but I love Cracker Barrel pancakes. So.
That would be the Kansas in you, I think. That's where that
probably
comes from.
Yes.
All right. If you could, my fourth question here is, if you could only have one for the next year, would you pick movies or music?
Oh, that's a tough one. I think probably music, just because I have this playlist called Truths to Remember that I listen to when I just really need to be reminded of the truth and pointed to Jesus and just have my heart uplifted. And I feel like that has just carried me through on some days, probably in a way that movies just don't. So
yeah, little different vibe. Okay. I like that. All right. Truths to Remember. Mine's just called Worship Jams. Maybe I need to make some different worship lists here. I like that. And then the last question here is, you are talking to us today mostly about your new book, The Time-Saving Mom. And so you just shared a little of this off air, but hopefully, you know, you'll share it again. Where did this idea come from? Like, was it an aha moment? Was this an idea from somebody else? Or was like, this was something you were marinating on over time?
So this was an idea from my publisher, like I told you beforehand. But as I started writing the book, I remembered that, and I'd completely forgotten this, when I was 18 years old, I gave my graduation speech, not because I was a valedictorian, but because I was homeschooled. And so when you're homeschooled, you graduate at the top and the bottom of your class. And
oh my goodness.
Graduation ceremony. And my speech was, time is short. Like, that was the theme of my speech. And I remember, because I just at that age had such a burning passion to help people use their time intentionally. And so as I was writing this book, remembering from the time I was really young, probably 12 or 13, I just started to really recognize that, you know, you only get one life. And how I want to wrap my time and my life and my energy around things that are going to matter in 25 years from now. I want to look back at the end of my life and see that it mattered. And so this book really, you know, the subtitle of it is How to Juggle a Lot and Also to Enjoy Your Life and Accomplish What Matters Most. And those were picked very intentionally, because it's not about how to streamline and minimalize and cut everything from your life so that you just don't have anything on your calendar, because some are in seasons where that's not really possible. I right now am not in a season where I can just cut everything out of my life, because I have six children and one has a lot of special needs. And so, you know, I also work full time. And so just recognizing that there is a way to juggle a lot, but do it from that space and place of peace where, so you're enjoying your life and you're accomplishing what matters most.
Yeah. And I think this is frankly what a lot of moms are after. And so our conversation today, what I wanted to do is kind of like start with, you know, a little bit, you just alluded to it, a bigger question, then like funnel down to some of the strategies that you have for us, which are so awesome. So I think this is important work. I think most every mom I know, you know, they have dreams to write a book, to be more involved in their community, to like make dinner for the neighbor next door, like all these things. But I feel like we already feel like we have a full plate, right? And so you mentioned juggling and enjoying and prioritizing. And so sometimes that feels impossible. But what I hear you say is we have time for the things that we prioritize and the things that are meaningful. So can you start by telling us a little bit about your 25-year mindset? Like, how does that kind of drive some of the decisions that you make?
So I really want to look at every day and every week as what is going to matter at the end of my life. So in the book, I talk about my 6x2 priority system, which is I have six priorities that right now in the stage of life I'm in, that's what I want to be wrapping my time and life around, because I feel like these are the things that matter most right now. And so I call it the 6x2 priority system because I can't realistically focus on all of those six things every single day. Mm. So I have two hands. I can hold two things at once. Like right now we have three littles that are under three, and they oftentimes all three want me to hold them at the same time. And if I try to hold all three of them, it doesn't work very well, but I can hold two of them, you know? So it's the same thing with our priorities. If we try to do too much at once, if we try to carry too much, hold too much, we're going to be dropping things and we're also going to be exhausting ourselves. So I pick two priorities per day that I focus on. And I really outline this in the book, how this actually how I walk this out practically, what it looks like in the course of a week. But I try to think of priorities over the course of a week, not a day. I think so many moms are exhausted and overwhelmed because they're just thinking in terms of 24 hours. Like, I need to get all the things done in 24 hours.
Yes.
What if instead we zoomed out and we looked at it in the context of 7 days? If you have 2 priorities per day and you have 6 priorities that you have overall, you're going to be able to focus some really good quality time on each of those priorities twice in a week. Well, think about that. If that's your marriage, if twice in a week you have some really good quality time with your husband, that is building into your marriage in a way that is going to have long-term impact. Oh, now, it's not like I don't look at him the rest of the week, but
clocking out.
Yes, not a priority today. So, but no, of just twice a week. And same thing with my kids, same thing with the business, same thing with my home, same thing with my health, same thing with relationships. If I am investing quality time in each of those areas twice a week over the course of a year, that is a lot of investment made. And that is where you build those strong foundations of your health, of having a decently organized home and life, of having strong relationships with other people, of having the strong relationships with your kids and having a good relationship with your husband. Like, it matters. And so trying not to do it all, but doing a few things well per day has made such a big shift for me.
Yeah, you know, and I like the idea of the week too, because especially, you know, I have little, you know, my kids are 7, 4, and 2. So sometimes a whole day goes by and that's just how, you know, somebody gets sick. And, but like, if I'm looking at it more at a week and I'm like, okay, it's only Tuesday, it's fine. Rather than being like, I'm such a failure because this was on Tuesday and now Tuesday I got nothing done. Mm-hmm. And that's part of that, you know, mind shift set there too.
Well, also then it's like, okay, I was planning to actually focus on my home today, but my child is sick. So I'm going to shift gears. And today is just my priority is my child, you know, like that, that's just what I'm going to focus on. And the nice thing is there are actually 14 opportunities in a week. And if you only have 12, you know, like you're only, if you're only hitting the priorities twice and you have 6 priorities. And like I talk about in the book, some of you won't necessarily have 6. Maybe you only have 4 or 5. I really recommend not any more than 6, but I kind of help you walk through how to decide those. Okay. But it allows me to then be able to shift. So if something comes up where, let's say a child really needs something or there's something that happens with the business, I can shift and I can be like, you know what, today I'm just focusing on this. Tomorrow we'll move on and focus on some other things. So just rotating through them really helps me to be fully present where I am and not feel like I am missing the mark and really dropping balls in other places.
Yeah, amazing. So in the book, you talk about your 4-step system. And so this is like, and I feel like I'm like the perfect candidate for your book too, because I love this stuff. And so there's something for everyone. Even if you're not like into like super, I'm like, oh, nope, there's something here. And so I think this can be really helpful. So in your book, you teach readers about your 4-step system for, you know, feeling less frazzled, having more breathing room. Can you give us like the high level overview of that 4-step system that's been working for you?
Yes. And, you know, really for me, I think the important thing is to just recognize this is what works for me. And like you said, you know, I'm not saying everyone needs to do it exactly like me, but I hope, because I share a lot of things from a lot of other women who are in a lot of different stages of life, that you're going to be able to pick and choose the things that are going to work for you and not feel like you have to implement the entire system.
Yes, 100%.
So the 4 steps: pray, prioritize, plan, and then prep.
Okay.
So talked about the prioritize section, but I'd love to go back to the pray section because for me, this is the foundation. And I know your listeners can be coming from all different faith backgrounds and, you know, just they're in different places spiritually. Mm-hmm. But for me personally, as a Christian, I recognize that I cannot do what I do without God's help. Like, I'm not enough in and of my own strength. And so having that posture, going into my day with that posture, has really transformed my perspective. And so when I go into my day, just with opening up my hands and saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you today. Maybe it's that I didn't get enough sleep last night because I was up multiple times with a child, or I'm facing some situation with the business that I'm like, I don't know what to do. Or I'm walking with one of my teens through something that's really hard, or there's just some tension in a relationship with someone else, or, you know, whatever it is, starting it from that posture of inviting him to help me, to walk with me, to give me what I need. I call it flare prayers, of where you're just shooting up these quick prayers to the Lord throughout your day, but starting it from that foundation of, I need you. And then going throughout the day, just with that prayerful attitude of inviting him and getting to then see him show up and be so faithful. In the book, I talk about some very specific places where I was really overwhelmed and it was too much. And yet God was so faithful, because it's never too much for him.
That's awesome. That's wonderful. Yeah. The pray is such a great, I think sometimes we're rushing through because we have these things on our list that seem so valuable and so important. But to me, prayer is just the foundation. Like, it is just, everything stacks on top of that. And so when we don't have that, it is shaky. At least I'll speak for myself. It is shaky. And so whenever I have a week where I'm like, wow, you know, and I'm like, okay, back to the foundation. Because if we're not laying that foundation, the rest is going to be problematic.
Well, it's like when we're gripping so tightly of feeling like we have to white knuckle our way through life. No wonder we're exhausted. No wonder we're stressed. No wonder we don't enjoy our life, because we're feeling like it's all up to us and we got to figure it out and we got to do it right. But when we can just open up our hands and say, okay, God, help me to be a conduit through which you flow. Give me the love, give me the strength, give me the energy, give me the words that I need for what you have called me to today. It just changes my whole energy for my day, because then it's like I'm going through my day saying, where's God going to show up? Where do I get to see him be faithful? And then you just see all these beautiful things throughout your day that I feel like I wouldn't see, I wouldn't notice, I wouldn't experience if I didn't have that posture going into my day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the concepts you talk about in your book is your time block to-do list. Will you share that with us? Will you tell us how that works and how we could do that as well?
Yes. So with the four-step system of starting from that posture of prayer and then prioritizing, you got to decide what you're going to invest your time in. And so I think those are very foundational. Rely upon the Lord, decide what you're going to invest your time in. How are you going to actually spend your time? Yes. We could just wake up and let the day happen to us, or we could get up and happen to our life. And I really want to happen to my life.
Yes.
So for me, I have a hybrid system that I use Google Calendar and my time block to-do list. I use Google Calendar to just brain dump everything. And I really outline in the book what this looks like, how I do it. I fought against this for a long time because I don't like technology and I didn't want to have technology, but I found that it's really helpful because I can just put it in there and then it's out of my mind. Like, I don't have all these things swirling in my mind. Yes. So then, before I go to bed at night, I look at my Google Calendar and see what those all day tasks are and also the time specific task that I've put in there. And then I write out a time block to-do list, which is literally blocks of time, you know, 6:30 wake up and then 7 o'clock this. And it's sometimes they're 15 minute blocks. Sometimes they're an hour and a half block. It just depends upon what needs to be done during that time. I always try to allow plenty of wiggle room.
Okay.
And 2 to 4 hours of just extra that I don't plan anything, because life is going to happen. There will be interruptions. And if I plan for those interruptions, then when they come along, you're like, oh, I planned for this. Okay. I can totally do this.
Yeah.
But this has been so helpful for me. I feel like my brain on paper, because then I just look at the next thing. Okay, that's the next thing to do, and do the next thing and do the next thing. And I write down very detailed for me. For someone else, you might just be like, that's way too detailed. I just want to have a very simple plan and I don't even put times on it. But just having a plan for what your day is going to look like. The other beauty of this is that I used to be the kind where I'd write these long to-do lists without And then I'd get so frustrated because it would all of a sudden be 8 p.m. and I'd have 25 more things still on my to-do list. I tend to be very ambitious. so if I put times and they're realistic times and I'm allowing wiggle room and extra free time,
yeah,
then I cannot cram my day with 36 hours worth of work. Right. And so for me, that really helps me to prioritize, to make sure, mm-hmm. okay, what are the most important things that I need to do in this day? What are the things that I need to feed my soul? Who has God called me to reach out to and minister to? And really putting that on the list. And then you're going to move things to other days and delete and delegate because you don't have enough space realistically to yeah. do 36 hours of work. So then it helps me to go to bed at night and just to feel calm because there's a plan for the next day. And I just get up and follow the plan.
All right. So let me dig into this a little bit. So when you say you put everything on your Google Calendar, do you put them in as like individual things? Are they just like a long task and then you copy and paste? Like, tell me, like, if you have five things swirling in your head right now, how do you actually like put them onto the Google Calendar?
Well, I do it as an all-day task. So for instance, this morning on my Google Calendar, there were three people that I wanted to connect with, just send a quick text to that I knew something about something next week. So I had it as an all day task. It just said, text Shelly, text Olivia, text, I don't remember who the other person was. And so I put it on there like that. And then there were a few business tasks that I needed to remember. There were a couple things that I needed to remember that I was planning to do today and some things just like that. So I put it all as a task. And then I also had some time specific things. So I was meeting up with someone for coffee. I had this interview. I have a women's gathering that I'm going to tonight. And there were a few other things. So those were time specific. So mostly the time specific things are what I plan my day around because those can't be moved, but everything else can just kind of fit where it fits. So yes, all day task, I use it for everything. So let's say that, for instance, my son's going to a birthday party tomorrow. I put a reminder today that he needs to get a gift. So I will put it, a lot of times it will be one task that I'll break it down. I am hosting something next Wednesday. So on Monday, I reminded myself that I needed to make sure that I got the groceries and that I plan for what we were doing. On Tuesday, I said to make sure that the food was all taken care of and there was a plan for that. And then on Wednesday, it was the last minute reminder. So breaking it down like that, instead of just in my head, I'm thinking, oh, I'm hosting that thing. Oh, I'm hosting that thing. Oh, I'm hosting that thing. Like that's how it used to be for me. There would be, I don't even know how many things swirling around in my head that were just weighing me down. But once I put them in the Google Calendar and break them down into the bite-sized pieces, then it's like, it's all taken care of. I don't even think about it because this just, when it comes up on my Google Calendar, it comes up.
It just comes up and you just follow the plan. I like what you said. I just follow the, wake up and follow the plan. Okay. So talk to me about a little bit about how you do that for, you know, like I want to say like work things versus personal things, or to you, are they all like fair game? So like, for example, like if I'm teaching something, you know, I need like an hour that's like a legit hour where I'm not being interrupted, but then like also like the birthday party, the gift. So are those all same priority? Like how do you block out things like that? Does that make sense?
Yes. So there are certain things that I can do, like I call it switch tasking. So I could do certain things while I'm doing something else. For instance, this morning, those texts that I said that I wanted to check in with those people. Well, I knew that I could actually do that while I was walking on the treadmill. Yes. I was going to walk on the treadmill. And so I actually put those, I blocked those two things together. So I put walk on the treadmill, and then I put the things that I was going to do while I walk on the treadmill. Okay. And so looking for those little moments of time when you're already going to be like, you're driving in the car. Do you need to make a phone call? Could you make it when you're in the car? Do you know you're going somewhere that you're going to be waiting? Could you put some task that you need to do on your phone that might take you 3 minutes? Could you put it on there? And so I'm looking for those little time blocks during the day that I can fit in something else, not because I'm wanting to just cram my day, but because I might as well use that time intentionally. Like absolutely. Moving my body, I might as well also move some things off my to-do list, you know? And so it's just being proactive and intentional in those areas so that it frees up time then that I can just sit and be with the child. Like one of the things on my list for today is that I just want to sit down with my daughter. I'm just do this little homeschool preschool every day. And it's just time, you know, she's 2.5. So it's more just about me spending that one-on-one time with her.
Right.
And then also we have a thing that we've been doing every night mostly is we call it table time, where it's like all of us just go and we sit around the table and we just tell about our day. And it's just been such a great thing with our older teens, because we realize that a lot of times they'll be at work or social things, or they have some type of sports activity. And so at night, a lot of times we'd be going lots of different places, but around 8 or 8:30, we can all go sit around the table and just have table time. And it might be 15 minutes that we're all reconnecting and just telling a little bit about our day. A lot of people do that around the dinner table, which we used to be able to, but in this season of life, we
teens
creative, put that on, things like that's a priority to me, or checking in with some of my friends and just being able to encourage them, or spending time with my husband, like being able to be intentional with certain blocks of time to get a lot done, so that it frees me up to be able to then have the time to invest in what matters most.
Yeah. Which is back to the prioritization and figuring out what those things are, right? Okay. So what's your advice when someone they like this, but they know they need something, but this sounds overwhelming to them. And, obviously I'm assuming your kids are part of this system, or at least they're aware of some of the things moving in. So how have your children responded? And what would you say to somebody who's like, I don't know if I can tackle something like this?
Well, and that was like, for me, this is so simple. It's just because I've been doing it for years. But for someone else, I know when I talk about mid-time lock to-do lists, they're like, whoa, hold up. That feels very restrictive. And so first off, I always liken it to a budget. We have a budget for our money. We've had it since the day we were married, over 20 years ago. And it tells our money where to go. And it makes our money work a lot harder for us, because we're not just spending money and then trying to figure out how we're going to make ends meet. Right. We're intentionally telling our money where to go at the beginning of the month, the zero-based budget. This is kind of the same thing with your time. It's like you're budgeting your time so that it's working for you instead of just it's happening. And so if someone feels really overwhelmed with this idea, I would start very small. And I talk about this in the book, how you can take the concept of time blocking and let's just start with an hour. Let's pick maybe the first hour of every day where you're going to say, I'm going to do these four things in that hour in this order. Let's start with that. Maybe you're never going to put actual times and you're just going to say, these are the 10 things that I'm going to do in order on that day. Or maybe you're saying, I want to have some sort of order, but I don't even know where to start. I want somebody to hold my hand. Well, at the back of the book, I actually have a 7-week plan where I walk you through week by week how to just gradually add one more thing on to really help you set yourself up for success. But if you are feeling overwhelmed, start somewhere, do something. And it might just be that you start from the posture of prayer and you start from just inviting God to just multiply your time and give you energy and help you to approach your day, trusting and resting in Him. Honestly, that's all you do. And that takes the load off of you because you're not doing it yourself anymore. That's a huge, huge start.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Absolutely. So, and I like that with the 1 hour. I mean, I'm thinking of some things, I teach, so I'm home with my little guys and I'm like, I could totally, 1 hour, I can totally pull that off. Maybe not 8 hours when they're, I'm doing some other things. So will you share a little bit about what your current morning routine looks like? I love morning routine. Like I love hearing about other people's. I love what time they wake up and if they do coffee or read or it's just like a personal thing that I think is really interesting. And yours seems to kind of set the foundation for your day. Will you share yours and maybe a tip if somebody wants to start one?
Yes. Yeah, so in the book, I have a chapter on morning routines and I really talk about the five things that are the non-negotiables for them. And so for me, I'm in a season right now where my mornings are different every morning. And some people are like, you wrote a book on time management and you have different mornings every morning. Yes. And I think it's giving people freedom and permission
that it is.
Have to look exactly the same every day. And I actually talk about having multiple plans. So you might have this is a plan A for what you have. You might also have a plan B and a plan C, depending upon how your night went. I have three little children that sleep in our room right now because that's just what works the best. And so I am oftentimes up multiple times a night. And so I might need to sleep in. But if it was a really good night, I might get up a little bit earlier. So typically I wake up sometime between 6:30 and 7:30, depending upon how the night was. And if the little ones are still sleeping, then it's amazing.
Yes, it is. You're like, okay.
I plan that they're not going to be asleep because then that helps me to set that expectation.
Yes.
So if they are, then it's just an extra bonus. and so then the first few things that I do, honestly, this is going to fly in the face against pretty much what you probably ever heard on productivity and time management, but I check my phone first thing. it's because I find that I'm usually pretty groggy when I first wake up. Like it just takes a little time for me to wake up. So I actually look on my phone and just kind of check and make sure there's no fires burning anywhere that with the business or anything. And just kind of that helps me wake up. And I'm really good about being able to just be on it for like 5 or 10 minutes. If you're someone that you check your phone and you're on it for an hour and a half, well, then probably I wouldn't recommend that that's the first thing you do.
Yeah. But,
so I do and just kind of wake myself up. And then depending upon how things are going with which child is awake. Usually then I go out to the couch and I will have one or two children with me and I'm going to read my devotional for the day. And then also I'm currently doing a Bible study. So it'll be some Bible time and then some kind of devotional or encouraging book. Read a little bit of that. Usually I'm interrupted maybe 17 times. Not quiet at all for a quiet time. That's okay. And then my older two. So my husband actually takes my 15-year-old to ice skating every morning. She's a figure skater. And so they leave at 5:30, 5:45. And he takes David, our one of our two-year-olds, with him. And so David sleeps in the car and my husband gets some time to get some work done. And then she has her figure skating and then he drops her off at school. So they are doing that. So my then almost 18-year-old and 13-year-old, they get themselves ready. They take care of getting themselves out the door, but usually I try kind of available to just talk to them, whatever they need, if they're just having a bad day or they just want to vent or whatever, just that I'm sitting in the living room, just available for, you know, just checking in with them. And then once they leave, then I usually will either get on the treadmill or do a workout depending upon what is on my workout plan for the day. I use the Mayhem Nation. It's CrossFit online. Yeah. The Mayhem Moms program. And so I do that kind of, that's what I use for my workout. It's usually no more than 15 to 20 minutes. And then I'll also usually hop on the treadmill for like 5 or 10 minutes and pray over my day. So do the workout, pray over my day. And a lot of times if I'm on the treadmill a little bit more because I'm able to be, then I will also check in on my email and check messages on Instagram. Somewhere in there, I also will post something on Instagram. I'm very active on Instagram. So The Money Saving Mom is my Instagram account and try to post some just encouragement for the morning as well. And then usually it is if I need to clean up the kitchen, start some laundry, it just kind of depends upon whatever needs to be done to kind of get the outfit in order. And then I take a shower and get dressed for the day that I want to have. So it's not this like perfect morning routine, but it's rhythm that then usually I am, you know, kind of have set myself up by pouring into me, by getting encouragement, praying over my day and getting my heart moving, posting a little bit on Instagram and then dressing for the day that I want to have so that I've just kind of set that foundation for a good day.
You know, Anna, what I really am gleaning from this is, and you set your expectations that yes, there might be a little one awake and yes, I might be able to get up early or yes, it might be a long night. And I think that is really powerful too. You know, I find in my own, like if I have a kid who wakes up early, like it really throws me off. Like, cause I get up before my kids, I get up early, but I have a not so great sleeper like most moms out there. And so that really derails me in a way that sometimes I don't always come back from because I'm like, I didn't have my quiet time. I didn't have my quiet time. And I just feel off. And so like what I'm gleaning personally from you, and I know there's a lot of moms out there is like that, you know, just because I have a baby on my lap while I'm reading my devotions, that is okay. That is okay. And that's something I think I need to kind of level set my expectations probably for that. And not let it derail my day.
Well, and I think when we plan for that, like we plan that it's going to not, it's kind of like we love to travel. And so when we, anytime we fly somewhere, we plan that there's going to be delays, that there will, you know, maybe the flight is going to get canceled. We plan for all these things so that if sometimes there are delays and the flight doesn't get canceled and our luggage shows up and all the things, we're like, wow.
Yes. See, I need more of that.
It feels like this gift versus if our expectation is that everything is going to go perfectly, then we're frustrated and we're the woman that's up at the counter yelling at the person, you know? And so I just feel like if we plan that it's not going to look like expect it to, then if it does, like some mornings, both of them actually sleep for an extra hour. And I'm like, it's amazing. This morning and yesterday, they did not. They woke, yesterday morning, they woke up at 5:30 and they went back to sleep. And I was like, you really need more sleep than this. But, they wouldn't go back to sleep. And I was like, okay, we're doing this. And so it just really helps me to have that enjoying my life. Like I want to be a mom who enjoys her life, because think about it, if you're raised by a woman who really doesn't enjoy her life, you feel like you're part of the cause for that.
Absolutely.
Like as a child, you feel like I caused my mom to be frustrated all the time. And that's not what we want for our kids.
No.
So when we give them the gift of enjoying them, it just puts a completely different tone for our home.
Oh my goodness. I believe that. And, and I think that's probably where I think the misconception is, like, if you have a system like this, then you are rigid with it. And what I'm hearing you say is there's a lot of, wiggle room and adjustment, and I mean, with little kids, every 6 months, something changes, whether they're maybe now they're sleeping or now they're on one nap instead of two naps. And you're like, okay, I have more time or less time. You know,
every 6 months, more like I feel like every 6 hours or at least every like 6 days right now. That's where we're at.
Oh my gosh. But like, again, holding it with an open hand. Hey, this is what my day is and the enjoyment of it. Cause it's so easy to just get sucked into like the checklist and then we're stressed out. And that's not what we want our kids to see. And that's, like you said, that's not really the life you want to live either. If so. I have just one last question for you here, and then we'll wrap it up. But you talk a lot about habits in your book, and I habits are like another part of the morning routine thing, and I've read some books on habits. What are some of the habits that have really worked for you, and do you have any advice on making them stick, right? So like, so maybe somebody starts this, and then like 2 weeks later, like they're giving up. Like how can we make this stick?
So one of the things that I talk about in the book, I actually have a whole chapter on habits and how I use a habit tracker, which again, for some people might feel like, oh, that's overkill.
I love it.
There are lots of things, but it is so helpful for me to see the little things that we do every day. They change the trajectory of our life. And so if we aren't capturing, if we don't have a way that we're measuring those little habits and how we're doing, we aren't really having our finger on the pulse of what's working and what's not working. Yep. For this year, I actually set weekly goals versus yearly goals. Now, my goal is those weekly goals are going to add up to the yearly goal, but instead of setting this big yearly goal, so for instance, I set the goal to read 52 books, but I didn't say that. I said finish one book a week, and that could be audiobook or it could be reading. And so that breaks it down even to a much more doable piece. Then on my habit tracker, I have read for 10 minutes a day and listen to an audiobook for 30 minutes a day. I oftentimes listen when I'm driving or when I'm cleaning or cooking or doing something like that. Again, like we were talking about that switch tasking.
Yep.
And so finding those little pockets of time to be able to listen to a book, because I find that books fill my soul so much. But I'm in a season where there's not a lot of time for just sitting and reading a book. And so getting creative. But so taking that, I'm hoping to read 52 books. I want to read one book a week. I want to then break it down into 30 minutes of listening and 10 minutes of reading. And then I check the box on the days that I accomplish that. And I keep my habit tracker printed out every week and keep it write in my notebook so that I'm reminded of it multiple times a day. And, you know, in checking to see, am I on task with that? And so I have get 7 hours of sleep. I have things like drink 80 ounces of water a day, take my collagen, track my food, because one of the things is also for my goals this year is to just work on my health. And I'm working on, I had a baby 7 months ago. And so it's time to kind of, I want to build more muscle. And yeah. So I'm breaking that down into what does that look like on a daily basis? And so that has been helpful for me to have a habit tracker to think of these big picture things. Maybe it's that you want to get out of debt, or maybe it's that you want to have, you know, there's some business project that you want to do. And so how can you take that big picture thing, that big goal, and how can you break it down into weekly and then breaking it down into daily? What can you do every day that's going to be a baby step that you can take towards getting you where you want to go, and then tracking it? And maybe you just start with two or three things that you put and just a check mark every day that you accomplish. Yeah. My goal is 5 check marks in every row over the course of a week. So not 7. Like I'm not shooting for perfection. I'm just shooting for good. And yeah. So 5 check marks in a row in a week is what I consider like I hit it. I hit it. Yes. And so it gives me some, you know, there are some days. We had a day 2 days ago where our little David, who has a lot of special needs, he had some really scary episodes. He was actually vomiting blood. It was really, really aww, scary. We thought we were going to have to call the ambulance. And it was ended up that it was, they think it's gastritis, which we learned. I didn't know a child could vomit blood and that was just gastritis. But anyway, we've learned so much with him.
Yes.
But that day, like that entire morning was just completely focused on him. Like everything else, we dropped everything else and just focused on him. And so by me saying, you know, just 5 check marks in a row, it allows for, there's going to be things like that where that day, not a lot of check marks happen. It's okay. You know? Yeah. And so finding, again, it's like setting your expectations to reality. And so then you're not feeling like you're constantly failing, and it's just encouraging you to, and motivating you and inspiring you to keep on and to take these little baby steps, but that you're never going to do it perfectly. So let's just shoot for good.
And, you know, when I read the, you know, I shoot for 5 check marks a day, when you wrote that in the book, I was like, that is such great advice. Like, oh my gosh, because so often we, you know, it's like, go big or go home. And it's like, no, just take your vitamins and like, you know, drink your water and you're gonna take your collagen. And like, that's good, right? 80% is passing. Passing with a great grade, actually.
Yes, not so passing. Like, it's like, let's celebrate that. Because over the course of a week, you invested in something that was super important to you 5 times. Like, that's a big deal. And you think about, okay, over the course of a month, that's 20 times. And, you know, over the course of a year, like, you start thinking about how that is going to add up to that's how you change your life.
Yes, it's so true. And some of these things really are life-changing. And Crystal, I mean, I read most of the book this week and I just love it, and I can like wholeheartedly recommend it. And so, you know, as we wrap up here, if somebody wants to connect with you, grab the book, you know, kind of get into your ecosystem, where do you hang out? How can people learn more about you?
So if you love deals and using your money intentionally, moneysavingmom.com is my blog that I've had for a very long time, like very long time. I'm basically a great grandma blogger at this point. And then Instagram is my favorite place to hang out. I'm the Money Saving Mom on Instagram. I mostly share encouragement for intentional living, loving your life. I do share deals that I get at the grocery store, behind the scenes of our life with 6 kids and a child with special needs. But it's just my place to just share whatever is on my heart. So I would love to invite you to join me there. And since this is coming out before the book comes out, we also are going to, I'm announcing pre-order incentives on there. So we've got some fun stuff.
Awesome.
You are interested, I'm kind of rolling them out slowly. So there's definitely going to be some in the next few weeks. So I'd love listeners to get to join in on that. So all of that information will be on Instagram.
Okay. Crystal, thank you so much. I know you do a lot, and like, I know that, you know, this works for your family, but it's such a privilege that you're sharing this with other moms. And so thanks for making time for this today.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's a true honor.
Thank you. Thanks for listening in today. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate and review us wherever you're listening to this podcast. Be sure to share with us on Instagram what you liked most about the episode by tagging me at Susanna.McMonagle. And lastly, if you want more information about the 5 to 8 shift, you can check out our website, the5to8shift.com. We'll see you guys next time.